Been excited about the Lord? Any good? Well, it's time for us to actually begin to prep our hearts and get ready for Yom Kippur. It's coming up. It'll be starting here soon. And so this is why we have Yom Teruah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. It's where we come, where the alarm is sounded. How many of you know when the alarm sounded? It's time for us to prepare. I mean, you know, we got to know when to prepare. And we know that in the scripture, we're to be prepared at all times. But the Bible is very clear when it talks about us being prepared for a certain time, or time of the time to honor God during the fall feast. Now, we went over some of the things we talked about in the spring feast and all of those things we covered. But we're going to continue to do what we've been doing here for the last few services, preparing everybody and getting you ready. Well, tonight's a special night. Tonight's a night where the alarm is be sounded, and it should be something you do from here on until the Lord returns. So when is he going to return? He's going to return around this time. That's when he's going to return. And how do we know that? Because the scripture tells us that. We know that all the feasts, and I'll try to cover as much review as I can, but we've been doing this for several services, so it'll be hard for me to cover all of the slides. So I want you to think about what's about to happen. So when you hear the alarm sound, what happens? You prepare. You make sure you prepare. You get ready. And that's what we're supposed to do. We prepare. So what happens at this time of the year? If we would have been practicing it and the church wouldn't have went off in error, then we would have known this. But I submit to you today, there'll be some here tonight that doesn't even know what this is. But we're Christians. And it saddens me to know that the enemy, by the sleight of hand, by sleights of words, cunningness, he's cunning, he's crafty, he can cause the church to drift off and to think that we don't have anything to worry about. It doesn't make a difference what happens. God's going to take us all away and everything's going to be fine. Well, we've drifted off in error because we don't even know the times and the seasons in which the Lord speaks about him returning. And that's sad. There shouldn't be no believer on the planet that should be in the dark about such a time when the Lord's going to come back and receive the church. We shouldn't be nobody not knowing that, understanding that time. And it's a sad thing. You know, we think, well, it can happen any day. Well, that's not true. The scripture doesn't say that. It can't happen any day. It's going to be on the appointed day. Not any day. An appointed day. And that's why he gives us those things in the scripture. So I want you to get ready. We're going to sound the alarm. Just kind of prep our hearts, kind of wake everybody up. How many up? Well, listen to this. This is the sound of the trumpet. This is the sound that the children of Israel would hear. And when they heard this sound, they knew what to do. They knew exactly what to do. Certain sounds represented certain things. And one of the certain sounds they would do is Yom Teruah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, or the sounding of the trumpets. When the trumpets would blow, the children of Israel knew exactly what to do, where to line up, or get ready to move. They knew if it was a battle cry, they knew that sound. We find in Joshua 6, we talked about this last Sunday, when they got around Jericho, he put the trumpet players up front, and he said, "You get ready to blow the trumpet." And that's what they would do. When they blew the trumpet, folks knew how to line up. They knew what was going on. They didn't have to be told again. They knew what the trumpet sound meant. Well, for 6 days, they heard that trumpet blow, and they knew exactly what to do. Don't say anything. Just march around the walls. But on the seventh day, they had a different sound, a different alarm. This alarm meant keep marching. Keep your mouth shut and keep marching. We're going to go 7 times on this day. And then all of a sudden, the Yom Teruah blast came in. And when they did, when the Yom Teruah, that's that rapid blowing of the trumpets. When they heard that, they knew to shout, because that's what it means. It means to shout. It's the air. What does it take for the trumpet to make a sound? It takes air. You got to blow in it. If you lay the trumpet on the side, it won't do any good. I'm going to show you tonight some things and share with you some things that I believe is critical for us for the end time harvest. How many want to be responsible for somebody being born again? Yeah. Anybody want to share the? Yeah. He said, "You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see the good works. Glorify the Father which is in heaven." That's what he said. How many would like to be responsible for somebody coming to know Jesus because you was willing to share the gospel? Well, if you haven't done that before, then I want to empower you with power from on high so you'll be able to do that on a regular basis. Amen? Well, let's blow that trumpet so everybody can know what we're talking about. This is Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. This is what the children of Israel understood and heard many times. They weren't a group of people that didn't know what this meant. The sad thing is the church don't know anything about this. We think this is for the Jews. The Bible says that's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We're all one in Christ. I don't know how we can have Jewish feasts and not be a Christian feast. Are y'all here? We've drifted away. The church has went off track. We followed man's traditions. He said, "Do they worship me in vain?" He said, "They do worship me in vain, teaching for doctrines the tradition of men." And we'll never survive if we teach tradition as a doctrine. What we got to do is take the word of God. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses should every word be established. And if we can find it in the scripture, established by the two or three witnesses, that's the doctrine that we should preach. That's why he said he gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man. What does he want us to do next? To the full measure of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the end time. There'll be many that come and say, "Here he is. There's Christ. Christ is there." You know what he said? Don't run after him. Don't you go. Well, how will we know? Because, listen, you'll know because you've been prepped and you've been taught and you understand that it can't be Christ because it's not the time yet. Now, you might not know the day or the hour, but you ought to know the season. Now, if I quizzed everybody in here on the season and you couldn't pass that test, you might run to those false Christs that come in, doing all sorts of miracles. But you line it up with the Moedim. You line it up with the appointed times of God, and you go, "Can't be him, because he won't come then." See, you won't be fooled. Nobody sitting in here is going to be fooled. You understand? And we shouldn't be. And I'm thankful that we can understand this through the Word of God. This is not hidden from us. Folks think, "Well, that's something nobody ever knows. It's a mystery." It's in here. If it's in here, we just got to read it. Find out what it says. And so we'll look at that. I'll cover a few things. I don't have a lot of slides for you, but I got a lot of information for you. And we're going to grow in the Lord. And then tomorrow we're going to finish it up. We've got two services tomorrow, and we're going to finish this up. And then that'll start the 10-day count to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And that's a time where you ought to be fasting, praying, seeking the Lord. We ought to be going over our life, do a list in your life and say, "Lord, what do I need? I'm going to come before you on the Day of Atonement. What do I need to do? Is there anything that you see in my life?" This is the time. It's called the 10 days of awe. All of those things are significant with the return of Christ. And we ought to know about them. For a long time, we pushed them off and said, "Well, that's for the Jews only. We're the new church." We don't see that in the scripture. You can't find that. You might try to believe that because somebody told you, but you can't show me that in the scripture. How many understand that? So how many want to know what God wants you to know? How many believe the whole Bible is true? Anybody here? Come on, somebody respond to me. Wave your hand. How many believe the whole Bible is true and relevant for us today? How many believe we ought to be like the Bereans? We ought to study the Word of God to make sure that what people tell us is true. Just because I say it don't make it right. You ought to check me out. You ought to get you a Bible, get you a concordance, and go check out everything I'm telling you. And that's something that we should never be afraid of. If we need to fix it, we will. We'll correct it. I can chance. I reserve the right to be wrong. I can misspeak something. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. But I'm not going to tell you to don't just take my word for it and don't search it for yourself. You ought to study this word and look at it for yourself to make sure. Because I don't want anybody to hear on the day that he returns, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I don't know you." I don't want anybody in this building to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Well, we got to make sure that what we know is in the Word of God. What we've been taught is in the Word of God, so nobody's led astray. Because there'll be many who come and say, "Haven't we?" Now, this is church functions. "Haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we prayed for the sick in your name and they were healed?" These are all church functions. And he said, "Depart from me. I don't know you." That's a problem. Because we can be going through church functions. We can have a form of godliness, but have no power. You understand? And you have to have power over darkness or you'll never make it in the end time. Never will you make it if you have no power. That's why he said, "You shall receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it will be witnesses. You shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, to be a witness, we got to do something. We got to open our mouth and we got to let air out. And when we let air out, we're going to blow through the trumpet, the silver trumpet, to be in. As a matter of fact, and I'll talk about all that tonight. When the air comes out, we're blowing through the silver trumpet. What we're doing is we're sounding an alarm to everybody to wake up. Don't be sleeping when he returns. Wake up. That's what you're doing when you're witnessing. You're blowing air. You're blowing air out. Now, the ruach is where we get the Old Testament. The Hebrew word is the ruach. It's the same breath that God breathed into Adam. So picture Adam. Adam was just a trumpet or a shofar lying on the ground. But God blew the trumpet. Is somebody here? He blew the trumpet. That man lived. First human being on the planet. That's what he wants us to do. Now the New Testament word is pneuma. It's pneuma. It's where we get our word pneumatic. How many know what pneumatic, when you get a pneumatic tool? What does that mean? What is that? What kind of tool? An air tool. Does it work without air? No, it's a pneumatic. It's where we get the word pneuma in the Greek is the pneumatic. You got to put air to it or it doesn't work. Listen, God wants to put some air to us. Anybody come here to get some air in you? Huh? Who wants to just tell God, "What to blow these trumpets? I might get you to stand and just get your heart right for the word." Right? On good ground. This is good ground. Lord, hook the hose to me. And let me do what I need to do. Some of you are sanders in here. Drills. Wrenches. Some of you, you got all sorts of talent. Every one of you. The devil's been telling you you can't do things. And you've been believing it so much, you look at yourself sometime and tell yourself how you can't do this. I'll never be like them. Well, that's good. That's you're on the right track there. You don't need to be like them. You need to be like God wants you to be. Amen? Amen. But you'll never do anything without the pneuma running through you. How many want that? That's what I want. Well, where does that access, where we access the holes is the Holy Spirit, is the breath. Remember that. The Holy Spirit is the air of God. It's the breath of God. That's how we access it. If somebody wants some of that tonight, it'll be available for you. Do we have to pray for it to come? No, listen, on the day of Pentecost, that's already been fulfilled. That's not something we got to pray to come. It's already been done. On the day of Pentecost, they went up a room. They were all gathered, and they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, ready for this? Like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the place. So the pneuma of God flowed in them. And what happened immediately after that? Peter opens his mouth and he blows like a trumpet, and 3,000 souls get saved. I'm just wondering if there's anybody here tonight would say, you know what? I'm ready for that. Ready to see my whole family come in, my neighborhood, my job, everybody I work with to come in. And you might say, well, you don't know the people I work with. It doesn't matter. If I know the people you work with, I know whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to do amazing things. I mean, are you persuaded of that? Listen, there's something that happens when the air flows. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we shall ever ask or think, and we stop there. But there's a reason that happens. According to the Spirit, the breath, the pneuma that's working in us. Do you understand that? None of those things are possible. You know, we can say it and I can excite the group. You can get some folks so excited, they're willing to do whatever it takes to just have a breakthrough in their life. And then it's a false pretense because you get them pumped up and primed, and it's what happens around the world. That's why we got so much thievery going on in the church world today. Folks getting up telling people, don't worry about anything. You just got to give and you're going to be blessed. That's a lie. There's no truth in that. They're a bunch of thieves. And I know nobody wants to hear what I'm saying a lot of times, but I'm going to tell you that there's no way God's going to stand for that. Don't get caught up in that. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above you shall ever ask or think, according to the power that works in you. And he's talking about that power from on high. That power from on high. How many want that tonight? All right. You might want to stand. The alarm's about to sound. This alarm sounds. You might want to shout. We shouted Sunday. Yeah. Folks told me they shouted and had a breakthrough. They just felt it. Doors just busted open. Walls coming down. We want you to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for what God has for you. Just going to do it one time. One time through, then we're going to stop it. We might blow it again after a while. Y'all ready? Let her go. Turn them horns loose. You hear them crickets? That's because folks are sleeping. But not no more. The alarm is sounding. Yom Teruah. Pretty sure everybody's heard them horns before. If you haven't, we've been playing that since last Sunday or maybe the Sunday. I don't remember. We started it since we started this series. You may be seated. I wanted you to stand so you get from the top of your head to your feet. Now you know what I'm talking about. The Feast of Trumpets. Very important time. Let me give an overview, just a quick overview so you know what I'm talking about. There's different feasts in the Bible. Nobody really talks about these in church anymore. That's sad because we're missing important principles of the things of God. God doesn't do things because he's got a lot of time on his hand and don't know what to do with himself, so he just makes up stuff. Well, that's not what God does. He didn't just make up these feasts. He told them they were important. You go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, you'll find something there. He's talking about the lights. He talks about these lights that are going to be used for something very important. And this is a value, something that you and I got to understand. We got to make sure that we're clear on it so we know what he's talking about. So let me read that to you. I said we'd start a lot of our services with that verse because it's, you know, if you start out wrong, how many of you know you're reading in the Bible? If you're reading the Bible for the first time, where should you start? At the beginning. I've heard folks say, listen, you just got saved. Yep, don't worry about the rest of the Bible. Just go to the New Testament. Well, that's really, you know, you're misinforming them. Bad, you're misinforming them. Because they're going to get to different parts of the New Testament, especially Paul's writings, and they're going to go, huh? Because Paul was a student of the Torah under Gamaliel. He was one of the best students. This guy was brilliant. Paul was brilliant when it came to the Word of God. He knew by heart, memorized the first five books of the Bible. Who would like to try that? If you was a student in Gamaliel, you cannot be a student unless you knew by heart the first five books of the Bible. He didn't accept just anybody in his school. Paul was a part of that. Well, his name was Saul at the time. So you get to him, what he's going to reference in his writings most of the time. What does he reference? He references back to the Torah, the Old Testament. He references it all the time. Well, if you're telling folks don't worry about the Old Testament, you're doing them a disservice. Every time I've ever read a book, I start at the beginning. I don't jump in the middle somewhere. And, you know, if it's 20 chapters, I don't start on chapter 10 and expect to understand the whole part of the book. I might get the ending. Oh, you'll get the ending right, but you don't know what brought the ending to the ending. You have no idea because you didn't start at the beginning. So if you start at the beginning, you're going to start in Genesis, right? And you're going to be on the first chapter. And so on the first chapter, right off the bat, if you get this wrong, you're probably not going to understand prophecy. You won't understand the prophetic word of God, and you'll have yourself a real rough time, so you'll have to try to guess at things. And then you ask somebody, and they did the same thing you did. They're guessing, and they ask somebody. They're doing the same thing. They're guessing. Everybody's guessing. We got three or four different guesses, and we could go off that way. So the 14th verse is very, very important, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse. How many see that? Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. Now I want you to understand that that's important. So he says, let there be lights in the firmaments. And he says, let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and for years. That's very critical. So that tells me right off the bat that those things are very important. I'm going to use the lights in the firmaments, and that's how I'm going to have a calendar that away. Now, we have all sorts of calendars, but God has a calendar. How many of you know that? How many has ever had a calendar that you made up? You had a calendar, and on your calendar, you write down your birthday, you circle that in. Anybody ever do that? Put my birthday on it, as if you didn't know. All right? And then you put vacation. Maybe you have vacation plans, so you'll mark that. And you know, I'll get off today, that day, and I'm going to be off, so you mark it. Anniversary, right? You'll mark the anniversary, guys, the anniversary. So you understand. Now, if I took your calendar and I used your markings on your calendar, my timing would probably be off, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be. Because I'm going to be going to give my wife an anniversary gift on your wife's anniversary. That would be in a mess. right? I'm going to be celebrating my boy's birthday on your boy's birthday. Because I took your calendar, you marked it, and I took it, and I'm trying to live with that. How many can see that could be a problem? We cannot take a worldly calendar and know God's timing. Whose calendar we need for God's timing? We need God's calendar. Does God have a calendar? Well, absolutely he does. He just told us he did. I put the lights in the firmaments. Let it be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And that, it's a pretty simple statement. Now, that word seasons there, when people say that, they're reading the Bible at first time, and they come to the word season, they think, well, the lights, okay, they don't equate that it's going to be something that we need to use for a timing. What are they going to do? They're going to say, well, that is for the weather, four seasons. Well, that's not what that word means. That word is moed, moed. You see it there, moed, properly. An appointment, a fixed time or season, specifically a festival. So God says that these signs are going to be, the lights, you use them for my appointments. I mean, you know, God makes appointments. Now, we started Yom Teruah today, according to the calendar of God, and we're going to celebrate it for 2 days. The reason to celebrate it for 2 days, because when the moon goes dark, when it goes dark, there's this pause, this silence. And all of a sudden, you're waiting, and you're waiting. And what are you waiting for? The little sliver of the light again. So it goes dark, and we wait for the sliver again to appear. When that appears, we want to be making sure that we're celebrating the Feast of Trumpets at that time. That's why they extend it over a period of time to make sure that we cover it. Some cover it 2 days, some cover it 3 days, just to make sure. It's not going to be over 3 days because it will appear again. Time is still going on, but it's dark. You have to understand that back then, that's all they had. They depended on that. That tells them what to do, especially when they were in captivity. When they were in Babylonian captivity, whatever one they were in captivity of, they depended on that to make sure they continued to celebrate and continued to pay the honor that was due to the Lord in the time that he said. So keep that in mind. Very important. So now that we know we have seasons, that word seasons is appointments, God sets a time. Now, who are these feasts for? Church today says they're Jewish feasts. Does the word say that? What do you think it says? It says they're the Lord's feast. These are his feast. Not they're his. They're his time of appointments. He sets that appointment. Now, how many's ever had an appointment? Anybody? A doctor's appointment? Dentist appointment? Appointment at the bank? Whatever kind of appointment, you had a time. They gave you a time and a day. And you, what if you just went in a week early and showed up and you said, well, I know you gave me an appointment for next week, but I'm here today. The way they might look at you and go, okay, what does that mean? Well, I'm here. I want you to do what I need done now. Well, they're going to go, okay, we'll see you next week. Because you can't do that. You have an appointment. Well, this is what people want to do in the church. We think we can get our shout on. Get enough Holy Ghost, we can bring God in when we want him. Never going to happen. Do you understand that? Never will happen. When is God going to come? At his appointment. And it's going to be a set time. He sets that. Listen, they asked Jesus, said, well, when is that time going to be? He said, well, I don't know. Can I tell you Jesus didn't know some things? Are you here? He didn't know some things. Now, either Jesus is a liar. How many would believe Jesus is a liar? Who wants to go with that? All the ones believe Jesus is a liar. Y'all come up here and stand up here on the platform while I preach the rest of this service. Well, nobody here thinks he's a liar. I don't think he is either. I think he tells the truth, right? Because if he's a liar, then he couldn't be the sacrifice. His sacrifice would have been tainted, had a spot and wrinkle on it. It could have never been accepted. So why would he say he didn't know something if he knew it? He didn't know when. He said, I don't know when I'm going to return. The angels don't even know it, but my Father knows it. Amen. Only the Father knew that. Why? Because it's his appointment. It's his appointment. Now, does he give us indicators on what we're to do in those appointments? Yeah, he sets up feast days. Those feast days are important. So what happens? Time is going on, and we have a feast day. It's called Passover. When was it instituted? About to leave Egypt, he institutes Passover, right? So Passover is instituted. They celebrate Passover. The lamb is slain. The door is applied. The blood is applied to the door, and they have the Passover, and they continue to do that. When did Jesus die for our sins? On what? Do you see it? Jesus' death, when? The Passover. When was he buried? What feast? Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now listen, those are not, you can say, well, maybe the first one's a coincidence. Well, how in the world all of them's coincidence? I say they're appointments. Could Jesus have died any other day? Would God allow that? No. Why did he said, couldn't they take him another day? Wasn't he amongst the people all those other days? Why didn't they take him then and beat him and then crucify him? They could not do it. Do you understand? They could not do it even though Jesus was there. How many know they tried to stone Jesus and it wouldn't work? Thomas said, last time we went over there, they tried to stone us. We going back? That's when Thomas said, well, let's go die with him. Think about it. But could he have been, could they kill him? No, Jesus knew that. You're only going to do what God's timing is. And he was just following every day. He knew that day wasn't going to be the day. But when he knew it was the day, he said, my hour. Are y'all here? Yes. Jesus said, my hour's here. It's here. So what did he do? He gets on his face before God and he said, Father, if it possible, let this cup, this hour that I'm about to go, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's powerful. So he died on Passover, was buried, the unleavened bread. What is the unleavened? You remove the yeast. So what did they do? Put all the yeast out your house. Why? Because a little leaven is the whole lump. So he said, removing the yeast. So what he's buried, isn't it amazing? He buries on unleavened bread the removal of sin. He's removing the sin, the iniquity from us all during that time. And then the resurrection happened on the Feast of First Fruits on the same day to the day. He rises again on what? First fruits. So who's the first fruit among many brethren? Who is that? Jesus, our Messiah. Amen? The Old Testament way to say it is Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua, our Messiah. Isn't that amazing? So when did he rise again? On first fruits. 50 days later, what's the next feast we're going to celebrate? Pentecost. Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in Acts 2, in the upper room, what happens? The power comes that he talked about in Acts 1. Acts chapter 1, he says, and you shall receive power. So what, 50 days? There they are, Pentecost. So do you see that all of those feasts have been fulfilled? Every one of them have been fulfilled. Every single one of them has been fulfilled. Now we have the fall feast, the trumpets, that's Yom Teruah, that's today. We started that today. Well, how do y'all know it's in September? Because we go and find out. How many of you know that the internet is not just for you to have Facebook? They got a lot of great stuff on there. I told you the other day, listen, I told you time and time again, it's like a two-edged sword. It can help you and it can hurt you. You got to pray over your life. And then you can go in there and find out a lot of interesting things. Well, there's people who have studied this for many, many years. We go back in history and we look at the historical, rabbinical, historical facts of how to keep the, and then not to mention the Bible tells us about these feast days. It tells us what day they start. Right? So that's what we use. So what starts today? Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, starts today. Now, you need to know that. So listen, the Lord should tarry, right? When could he come back? When could the Lord return? At this time of the year. So we say he doesn't. So what are we going to do next September? We're going to be ready again, preparing our hearts, getting ready. How many of you know there were 10 virgins? 5 had their all ready to go. They were up on their feast days. They were up on their timing. They knew that prepared themselves. 5? Well, guess we'll go to sleep. They were all virgins, though. Church folk. Some will be left. How many ready for that? So we ought to be preparing ourselves. Very important. So the Day of Trumpets has got to be fulfilled. Has it been fulfilled yet? Not yet. When the Lord, we're going to see that. The alarm's going to sound, and then we're going to have the return of Christ. I believe it's going to happen within the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, sometime in there. And then we're going to go straight to the Feast of Tabernacle. That's when we tabernacle with him for the 1,000-year millennial reign. That's going to be powerful. So we know that hadn't happened, right? Has the second coming happened yet? No. What about the Day of Atonement and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb? Has that happened? The Marriage Supper of the Lamb, or that marriage feast, has it happened? No, it hadn't happened. It's going to. Can we have that without the Day of Atonement? No, you can't have that. Because that's the day he atones. Everybody's sins are wiped out. You're clean before God. And you're resurrected. Those that are dead are raised. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and we'll be ready to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then we'll be ready. This will be set for us. How many thank God for that? So we got a lot to look forward to. And we just need to know that this is, you know, if folks want to get excited, this is what you got to be telling them so they have something that's going to give them some root and some ground to put their foot on, some anchor for their soul. And the immutability of God, that he can't lie. That's what he said, and Paul puts it, he said, the immutability of God, that he can't change. If he said, how many think God, you see his habit? How many see God's habit? When did he send Jesus to die? When did he bury him? When did he rise again? When did the Holy Ghost come? Jesus, listen, God's got a habit. He does things on his appointed days. I believe that he's going to return in the fall feast. And we see that in the scripture. And you could get the tapes, look at all of the different ones that we talked about in that. Okay? So now, let's go back to my start. And now that I just give you a quick review. That was about as quick as I could give it. Look at the first one. Leviticus 23, 1 and 2. Let's read this. And we'll kind of set the tone. I got to talk about some things tonight, I believe, that'll help us get ready. We've got tomorrow 2 more services to cover all this. And I'm going to prep everybody Sunday night. Sunday night service, I'm going to be getting you ready for Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and getting you ready for the 10 days till we celebrate that. And those 10 days are going to be critical, and I'm going to share that with you on Sunday night. Leviticus 23, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. Who the feast are for? They're the Lord's feast, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation. Remember that. There will be a holy convocation. Why? Even these are my feasts. How many see that? Who are these feasts for? They're the Lord's feast. And we got to understand that. It's critical to understand. Now, how many know every time you see the word Lord in the Bible, it is all caps? How many's got a Bible? Open your Bible up to Leviticus and see if you have that in your Bible. Brother Josh, have Lord all capital letters? Now, underline mine, because it's critical that you stay with that theme. Not all of them should, you know, some, we say, well, why don't they underline all of them? I don't know why they don't cap all of them. But I'll underline mine just to prove a point to you, sort of remind me when I'm talking about this. Feast of the Lord, that's the feast of Yahweh. How many of you know God has a name? And you have to understand that. They're the feast of the Lord. And so when you say that, so I might refer to him from here on out as that when I read it, when I read the text. But you need to know that. You might say the Lord. That's fine. But you need to know what that means. Because there are many lords in the scripture. But there's only one God. That can be Yahweh. How many understand that? And that's what he told Moses. That's my name. It'll be my name forever. And so we have to remember that. So keep that in mind. Look at the next one. And in this one here, he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, how many see that? In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a Shabbat, that's the word Shabbat, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Now he's just sharing with him more on that particular subject. Now when is it going to happen? It's going to happen on the month of Tishri. On the month of Tishri. So we have Elul, and then we have Tishri on the first day of the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month. Now, if you've done any of your study on your own, you probably came across the term Rosh Hashanah. Has anybody ever heard that term or done some study on your own? That is not a biblical way to describe it. That's something that the Jews, by way of tradition, added on to that because they call this the first day of the year. Right? That's what they call it, like a new year. Because that's when the alarm sounds. Everybody is coming into the Jubilee. Ought to be wiping everything clean. So they say a fresh start. The trumpet sounds, we have a fresh start. But it don't change God's calendar. So you got to understand that when you're studying the biblical calendar, that if I read it in the text, I said it's the seventh month. Now if I say the seventh month, if you're thinking with a Gregorian mind from Pope Gregory, you're going to think, what month? July. You'll be so lost, you won't know nothing. Right? But that's not how we think. We read in the Bible. You can't read the Bible with a Gregorian mind. You can't get your information from Julius Caesar. From a Julian or Gregorian calendar, they're basically the same. They just changed the name. You can't get no information. But we look at God's way of talking about it. How many know God had a calendar? He talks about it in the Word. He says seventh month, the month of Tishri, on the first day. What do? Blow the trumpet. What is that? Yom Teruah. Well, if I take our Gregorian calendar and I put it over the month of Tishri on the first, I'm going to be where we are right now in September. Does that help anybody? Why are we doing it in September? Because we're using Gregorian calendar. So that'll help you. Amen? So keep that. Remember, it's a Shabbat, or holy. It's a Sabbath, and it's a holy convocation. So it's not. This is a serious business. When you have an appointment with the Lord, it's serious. Now, how many's ever had somebody make an appointment with you to come visit? Well, at certain times, when they got no visitors, house looks a certain way. I'm just talking right now, so y'all don't pay no mind to me. All right? Right? House looks a certain way. But then you forgot you made an appointment, and you remember the day before. What happens? You go in a clean and Holy Ghost move. Woo! Right? It just hits you. And you're getting it done. Why? Because you have an appointment. And you want it right when they come because they're coming to visit. Right? Well, listen, how many think we ought to prepare? If we're going to have an appointment with God, we ought to be preparing. You know what's sad? Is when most of the church, listen, let me give you some statistics. 95% of the church world does not teach this. 95%, that's a problem. Because the appointment can be missed. We're thinking something and we're not thinking right, and all of a sudden an event happens and we go, what happened? And what are they going to do? They're going to look for the teacher. They're going to wonder why you didn't tell me. And that's why I want you to know that we have appointments with God, and this is a very serious time. They're the Lord's feast, and we should always remember them. Amen? All right, let's look at this next one. Numbers chapter 10. Look at this verse. And the Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, make yourself two trumpets of silver. Of hammered work you shall make them. Now, I want you to understand, we're not talking about the shofar no more. What is the shofar made of? We talked about that. It's made of the ram's horn or whatever animal, the horn of the animal. But we're talking about two silver trumpets. This is significant, very, very significant for us to understand these verses here. Of hammered work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for the camp set, having the camps set out. When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to gather themselves to you and at the doorway of the tent of meetings. Is anybody ready to show up at the tent of meetings? What happened when the five virgins that were wise heard the trumpet blow? What did they do? They showed up at the tent door to meet the groom. Five was going, what was that? What was that noise? Well, the five wives said, well, he's here. You got to be at the tent door. You got to be ready. He's here. Well, we don't have any. We have no light in our lamp. Our lamp's going out. We have no light. It's dark. It's so dark. Remember, we've been dealing with power over darkness. Unnatural darkness. How many got that when I talked about Genesis? Going back, you know, when you start wrong, you end up wrong. By the time you get to Revelations, you'll be going, woo. But if you understand that darkness was upon the face of the deep, that was an unnatural darkness, same darkness that Egypt, when he put darkness on the ninth plague, they could feel that darkness. I want to tell you, there's a darkness on this planet that you can feel. You can feel those demonic influences and evil spirits. You can feel them, but how many know we have power over darkness? I give you power to tread on the serpent, the scorpion, over all the power of the enemy. And he can do all kind of dark chants, whatever he wants. There's no power that he has that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, hadn't accomplished fully when he died and was buried and he rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father. Accomplished it all. And that's powerful to me. And I have that authority handed to me through Christ. And you shall receive power. And then you take that authority and you exercise it. So I want you to know that they had no oil in the lamp, no light to overcome the darkness. So they were overtaken. And while they went out to try to go and buy more, he came and it was over. I don't want that to happen to anybody here. I don't want it to happen to me. So we got to be aware of this stuff. We got to be very much aware of it. So we got two silver trumpets. How many see that? Could we have three silver trumpets? No, it got to be two. Could it be four? No, it's not about, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. Quality. Because what's going to come out of those trumpets is going to be powerful. They represent the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And these are important principles. Because we have, remember, we have Judah. Judah is where the Jews come from, hence Jews, Judah. But then we have Ephraim. And that's where the children of Israel, that's Jacob, his grandson, Joseph's boy. And we got a dividing kingdom. But we have two kingdoms and we have two silver trumpets. When they both blow, everybody, Ephraim, all his clan shows up. And the Judah clan shows up all at the same time. Hence, there's no more Jew or Greek, bond or free. We're all one in Christ. So somebody here, we're all one in Christ. So let me tell you, if you say, well, I don't know if this is for the church, I hope that you're getting this. Write this stuff down and go back over it for yourself and study it out, and you'll see what I'm talking about. We can't separate this. Listen, you think what he's going to come back? He's going to come back for the church first, and then later on, he's going to come back and get the Jews? Are you kidding me? Try to find that in Scripture. What are we going to, was his third coming? Is that what we're going with? All I read about is his second coming. He already come once. I showed you he came once. He came and he fulfilled those feasts. He's going to come again. He's going to fill the last feast. Then it's over. As far as we know the world now, but the new beginning starts, it's going to be absolutely incredible. He said, you make them of hammered work. I'm about to get moving on this, or you won't get, you're going to go home wondering about two silver trumpets. And you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for having the camp set out. When both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the door of the tent of meetings. And that's very important. So two silver trumpets. How many want to know what that means? Let's talk about it first. Why silver? Why silver? Why silver? Silver is, it has the best quality of reflecting light. Of all the precious metals, it can reflect the light. That's why it's used in mirrors. So it reflects. The Bible says when a man hears the word, it's like one who looks at himself in the mirror. So he hears the word. How does he hear the word? Somebody had to do what? The breath had to go through the trumpet, and it had to sound. He had to sound, so he hears the sound, like tonight. Tonight you're hearing, I'm speaking words as the Spirit of the Lord dealt with me. I went into the Word of God, I studied, I told you, it took me 3 years before I would even talk about these things. And so now I'm speaking these things out, and so now you're hearing it. He said, if you hear it, you're like one who sees himself in a mirror or a glass. It reflects. It's the highest quality of reflecting light. So what happens? It opens up your understanding. Now you got to deal with it. But if you don't deal with it, you're not a doer of the word. You're like one who sees himself, sees the reflection of the light, goes down the road and forgets what man or person he is. I don't want to be that person. I want to learn. I need to be taught in the Scripture. And so silver is important. But here's the thing. When you go and you get silver and you're digging the silver up, it's like a rock. It blends in with all sorts of other things. It's not just pure silver when you dig it out the ground. It's embedded into all sorts of rock, and they have to take it. And the first thing you got to do with the silver is you got to crush it. You got to crush the silver. And then after the silver's crushed, you add water and acid. And then that begins to remove and get it ready. And then it's going to be put in the fire after that. And then after the fire, then you have this silver. Then what do you do after that? You beat it. Does this sound like anything to you? And if you think you're here and you've been through some stuff, no wonder. He's trying to make you a silver trumpet. And we come to church and we think, well, you know, I'm just going to plop my you know what and be a big old clump of silver, and I'm just not going to get excited about anything. That's what folks want. They call that repentance, by the way. You know what God calls repentance? When he takes you And he crushes you. And then he adds the water, and he adds the baptism. Is y'all here? And then the Holy Ghost and fire. And then when you say, I can't go through no more, God. I got the Holy Ghost so good on me, I can feel the chill bone going down. And he beats you with a hammer. What is up with this, Lord? But how do you get the two silver trumpets? He said they shall be beaten. They'll be hammered out. I don't want you melting it and pouring it in anything. You beat it out. Because when you blow the breath of God through that horn, it's going to sound the alarm of Yom Teruah, and folks will line up for the meeting with God when he returns. It's going to be powerful. But we got to talk about what really makes the trumpet the trumpet. Now, say we went through all of that. And I'm really going fast. I said, Lord, if I put all these slides in here, we're going to get through it. So I'm giving you the short version. But I believe you. How many's hearing this? How many's with me on the silver trumpet so far? So now we got them beat. So you wondering why I've been through so much stuff? Why when I go to church it seems like it got harder? Don't believe when folks say, man, you need to go to church. Things are just going so good for you. You need to tell people, you come to church, you're going to get crushed. You know, you got a line of people say, man, you ought to come. They're just telling you, read your mail. They tell you all wonderful things. Man, you line them up. I'm telling you, they'll pack the building out. That's the truth. You go and tell them, hey, come to church, you're going to get crushed. They ain't coming. They ain't following you. Crushed. I want chill bumps. I want feel good when I go. Don't be telling me about crushed. But that's what we are. So, you know, folks who want to come to church, they don't want to repent. We're about to introduce them to an awesome God, and we think, oh, just come. You'll feel good. He said, no flesh will glory in my presence. No flesh will glory in his presence. He humbles us. So now we have the trumpet beaten out, hammered out. And now it's just there. It's there. And now here's where it comes. In the Old Testament, what do we have? The breath is Ruach. The Ruach. He breathed the breath into Adam, and Adam became a living soul, a human being. The Ruach. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Remember that part in that verse? The Ruach. It broods. It has a way to move the seas and blow the trees. It's something about God that's absolutely amazing. But then we have pneuma, or the pneuma is the breath. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing. When you sound the alarm, you're going to either blow it with your own breath, or you're going to blow it with the breath of God. I wonder what's coming out of our trumpet. What's really coming out? Is it my own breath, or is it the breath of God? Because when you sound that alarm with the breath of God, that's what we ought to be praying, God. When I speak, I want it to be your pneuma. I want the pneuma, the whole, I want the spirit to flow through it. So when I talk to people, they say, what is going on here? What is happening? They're hearing it. They're hearing a sound. And it sounds the alarm, and people are waking up. You know, we think, well, nobody wants to hear that. You gotta kind of ease in so people don't get scared. Don't go too fast, because they won't want to come to church. Don't blow them trumpets. Don't be shouting, because they won't come back. And that's how we think. You want your air to go through the trumpet? Because that's what sound's going to come out. Or do you want the breath of God the power of the Holy Ghost to blow through the trumpet. He said, when they hear the sound of the silver trumpets, they'll know to line up. So I want you to keep that in mind. If you've been going through some things, hang in there. He's beating you out to a silver trumpet. And what else? Let me just tell you this. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. What else do two silver trumpets represent? They represent the witness. What happens when the sound? It's a witness. It's a witness. Did you hear that? Yes, I heard it. Did you hear it? I heard it. We have a witness. The witness of the trumpet's been blown. It's time for us to line up. How many of you know there are going to be two witnesses in the end times? There'll be two witnesses. That there are going to be two olive trees. They represent, all of them represent the same thing if you study it out. Two trumpets, silver trumpets, two olive trees, the two sticks, the two witnesses. Every single one of them all represent the same thing, and that's Judah and Ephraim. They represent that. So if you're wondering about the two witnesses in the end, they represent Judah and Ephraim. What does that mean? Whoever they are have to come, one from each tribe. One from each tribe. Let me just let you try this on. You can go study it. He goes up to the mountain. He has disciples with him. Somebody asked me this, so I went and started looking up. They asked me this in the question. So I don't know. Try to find out. Let me give you this. You can go back and study it out for yourself. He gets on the mountain, transfiguration, something happens. They see a vision. Remember, it's a vision. Don't you say, well, it didn't literally, it's a vision. He said, tell this vision to no man. I mean, Jesus said, it's a vision. I'm going with him. I know we want to turn it into other stuff. We read and say, oh, that's what we want to do. Well, what happened in this vision? Who'd they see in the vision? And the vision was what? About a prophetic thing that would come to pass. So what did they see Jesus in? Did he die yet? No. Well, did he bury yet? No. Did he rise again? None of that happened, but he transfigured in a vision. And he had two people with him. Who were the two people? Moses and Elijah. I'm just saying. I wonder where Moses was from. What tribe? And what tribe was Elijah from? Can I submit to you? Well, there were one from each tribe, one from Ephraim and one from Judah. Therefore, we have the silver trumpets, the two sticks, the two olive trees, the two witnesses, and so on. All of them line up. You need to go back and do a study for yourself and check out what I'm saying. I think it's absolutely incredible. But you study for yourself. So people want to know, well, who them two witnesses are? Could it be Moses and Elijah? Could it be? Are they from one from each tribe? Yes, they are. Did he say that was going to be what they had to be? Yes, he did. So you check it out for yourself. I'm just throwing that out for you to give you something to think about. All right, we'll move on from the silver trumpets. I'll do one more thing, and then we're gonna pray. Look at the next one, the breath of God. Did I cover the breath? Let me read that one. I didn't. Without the right breath going into the trumpet becomes a clinging cymbal, and no one wants to listen. How many want the right breath going through there, right? What breath we need going through there? God's breath. So 1 Corinthians 14:8. Says, for if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to do battle? No one. Do you notice that? Why does he say in 1 Corinthians the trumpet gives an uncertain sound? Can it be my breath blowing the trumpet? No, it's going to give an uncertain sound. That's why we have to have the power of God. They know when those trumpets blew, they knew what they meant. You have to understand, it's a huge camp of people, 12 tribes. They're scattered all over, covering a huge area. The tent of meetings is in the middle. Tent of meetings in the middle. When their trumpets blew, they had to come from all over this big, huge amount of people. We're not talking about 100,000 people like you see at a football game. You've been to football games, 100,000 people, that's a lot of people. If I told you, I said, all right, you see over there, you know, in the Superdome, let's say the Superdome doesn't even hold that many. But, you know, if you've been to LSU, football game. We've been there, 90,000 people, me and my dad. Now, if I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, right on the other side, we know people that goes there, and they had tickets. So I said, if I told him, I said, hey, go on the other side over there. I don't know what seat he's in, but Mr. Jean's over there. He'd have looked at me and said, are you crazy? How I can find a man with 100,000 people here? I can't find him. Can you see my point? That's why listen, we're talking 3 million people camped around. 3 million. You can't say, oh, yeah, go over there. I think it's the tent of meetings. I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. How did they figure it out? They blew the silver trumpets and folks lined up to get ready to meet the Lord. So that's why those things are important. So if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself? The word prepare is important. How many believe it's important? Amen. How many believe we ought to be preparing ourselves? Now, if I'm telling you that God's going to fulfill the last feast, and he will, I can assure you he will fulfill those last feasts. The Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and he will do the Feast of Tabernacle, which is Sukkot. He will fulfill all of those things. Should we prepare? Shouldn't we be a church that's preparing, getting our lives ready, telling people, say, hey, what are you doing this September? What are you doing? Well, you know, I was thinking maybe we can, you know, we can celebrate 9/11. Really? What we need to do is sound the alarm. Because they're going to be way more than one 9/11 happen. Now, that might scare folks. But if you know what God's word says, you won't live in fear, you'll live by faith. And fear and faith cannot coexist. One is going to cancel out and rule your life. You're going to be ruled by one of them. How does the just live? He said, the just shall live by faith. Why does people succumb to fear all the time? Because the devil lies to them. The devil lies to them and they succumb to fear and they start seeing they can't make it. I just can't make it. You know, here's Jesus. He's on the water. They said, is that you, Lord? It's me. Peter said, if that's you, tell me to come. He said, well, come on. And he had just, all of a sudden, he just got enveloped with faith. I'm talking about a lot of faith. You want how much faith? Well, he got out of the boat. That's a lot of faith, right? Last time I checked, I didn't want to get out of the boat. I know if I'm in the boat, I'm floating. Get on out the boat. So he had some faith. A lot of faith. Listen, not only did he get out of the boat, he let go of the boat of security. That was his security. He let it go. So now who is he relying on 100%? He's relying on Jesus and what he told him. You told me to come, here I am. Then his eyes got off of what he relied on and he seen the trouble. And what happened? Fear. And what happens when fear comes? Faith goes. When faith goes, you begin to sink. Fear and faith can't coexist. One will cancel out the other. If you got faith, you have no fear. If you have fear, you have no faith. Is that helping anybody? Yeah. Let me tell you, I work on this every day. I'm not telling you, I work on it every single day. Am I attacked with fear? All the time. All the time. But I got to work on my faith. I got to grow in faith. And that's what we do every day. You don't get saved and you say all of a sudden you got all the faith in the world. You grow in this. And so this is important. One more, I think. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 13. The prophets are as wind. Notice that. And I put that in there because I want you to see the word of God. And the word is not in them, thus it will be done to them. So the prophets are like what? Wind. They're like wind. So if you think that we're not the trumpet, he don't consider us that, then I can tell you we're mistaken. Now, does the word have to be in us? You better believe it has to be in us. The word has to be in us that when we speak, we're sounding the trumpet. And so these are things that you ought to be well-versed in the scripture so you can share with people that you love. This time of the year is a great time to share with people that you love and care about. And tell them, say, hey, did you know? You sit down, you start telling them, hey, did you know that the Lord, the second coming is going to happen during the fall feast days? The fall feast days is Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So you know, do you know this? Really? How you know that? Then you go, you open your Bible up, and you start showing them. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Speak to them about the lights will be in the firmaments. There'll be signs, seasons for days and for years. And explain to them what seasons means, the Moed, the Moedim. What is Moedim? It's the feast days. Do you know that 150 times the word Moed is interpreted for congregation? 150 times in the Bible, that word is translated for congregation. So think about that. He puts them all together. Feast, congregate, all of those things add up and come together where he's bringing us all together. And that's important. And so he said it should be a holy convocation. We're coming together, and that's what God wants us to do. So I want to tell you another thing, and I don't have a slide for this one. I think that's the last one I put in here. But the Lord just reminded me of this. It's a time to bring a gift to the Lord. That's what it's a time for. Now, this is above and beyond anything that you've already done or that you're used to doing. It's a time that I'm going to present myself before God, and I want to bear a gift before the Lord. And that's what they did. They prepared. They prepared for an entire year. They're preparing and getting ready for this time to come. And when this event comes, what do? They say, I want to make sure that I make my gift to the Lord. Why? Because it's at that time that your expectation of God with the trumpet sounding is you're making. So you say, where do we get that from? Because Yom Teruah represents the marriage of the Jewish wedding. It's the marriage. So what happens? The father comes and says, hey, we're going to make the arrangement. So the arrangement's going to be made from the father. He arranges with the son. So my father would make arrangements, and he'd say with Charlotte's family, okay, do we have an agreement? Here's the gift. This is the gift. What does the father say his son's going to do for us? He's going to give his life for the bride. The bride's family says, agreed. What does the father of the bride have to do? He has to make sure that once he knows what the groom's gift is, he goes back and he thinks about it. And he prays over it. He seeks God over it. He says, what can I give? What can be my... He never comes, when a wedding happens, he never brings the daughter to the groom without a gift. Never. Never brings it. What does God want us to... What's the gift that he wants us to bring when the groom comes? He wants the light of the gospel. No, not our flesh. No flesh can glory in his presence. Not our works. Our works are not going to impress him. You can say, well, you know, I've been a pastor of the church for 30 years. He's not impressed with that. He wants the light in the lamp burning. It represents the gift or the offering that comes. Without that light, what happens? It's off. It's broken. And when it's broken, it's like it's considered. Now, wedding never happened yet. Remember that. Never happened. But the espousal happened because the father of the groom gave his gift. Once he gives his gift, they're just like married. Never had the wedding yet. If the bride doesn't bring the gift, the wedding's off, it's like a divorce. What happens when there's a divorce? You're in trouble. Remember that. You see that? That's why five were foolish. They brought no gift, no oil. After all that the father did, he gave the son. And Jesus died for this day, this wedding day. He died for that wedding day. Is anybody here want to get ready? That word prepare means a whole lot more to me now. Does anybody here want to get ready for the wedding day? The alarm's going to sound, and are you going to be ready for the wedding? Are you going to be ready to meet the groom? He says, what happens? He goes away for a while, but he's going to return. What are we doing to prepare? What are we doing to get ready? My prayer is that we're getting ready for this time. This time that we're going to, the groom's going to come. And when is he going to come? You know what it says in the feast, the wedding feast, the wedding gets ready. You know what the groom's doing? It says he goes and he prepares the chamber for the consummation of the wedding. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare the wedding chamber for you. Oh, my. It's not just any wedding. He said, I'm going to prepare for you. Does anybody know what he's doing? He's preparing it for us. And what it is, it's like you ever heard the threshold? You pick the bride up and you step over it. Well, he's preparing that. And then he's going to come out of what he prepared, come out, grab the bride and step back in. And the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that wedding feast will happen in New Jerusalem. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be absolutely incredible. But here's the thing. Does the groom know when that day is going to be? No, he done told us that. He said, I don't know. So who says when the day is going to be in the Jewish wedding? The father. Go study it. Go study the Jewish wedding. Who says when the day of the wedding is going to be? You know, today we do the wedding and we'll set the time and everybody knows and we send out invitations. We already know. But what they do is the father. Everybody's preparing the whole time. And they start celebrating about a week in advance. And within a two-week period, they know something. We don't know when, but it's time of the year. It's the time for the wedding. It's the time. And all of a sudden, the father says, get your bride. Go get your bride. And what is the son going to do? He's going to respond. Then we're going to have the second coming of the Messiah. He receives the bride. He brings the bride through the threshold. The covenant's made. The marriage is actually consummated in the chamber. The wedding feast happens. We rule and reign for 1,000 years. Is anybody ready for that? And I know the devil's mad, but that's all right. He don't get to go. The demons don't get to go. And there are going to be two groups of people there. The two groups. They're going to be guests. Wedding guests. And then there's going to be the bride. Which one you want to be? Both get to go. But only just the bride gets into the chamber. Are y'all ready for this? That's a whole nother teaching. I know you're looking at me going. Yeah. Glory to God. Hey, listen, you have no idea. Sometimes I shake my head and I go, God, please, Lord. But that's a whole nother teaching. We'll get to it. But you read the scripture, this is exactly what it says. But there are some that won't go at all. There's some that's not invited. They're not invited. Do you want to be invited? Well, it's going to be a sad day when the Lord returns. And you didn't even know he was coming. Well, he said that he's going to come like a thief in the night. Keep believing what 95% of the preaching going on today tells you. Keep believing that and you're going to miss, him. If you keep reading there, he says, but to you, it won't be as a thief. Can we just keep reading? Can we just keep reading? He said, it would be a thief to some, but to you, he said, if the good man of the house knows when I'm coming, won't he sit up and wait? Oh, you the good man of the house? I'm just wondering if we're ready to sit up and wait. Well, I want to tell you, I don't want anybody on this peninsula, nobody on this peninsula, just where the Lord put us on this peninsula, I don't want anybody in this peninsula to miss when he returns. And the way that happens is we got to blow the silver trumpet. Let the ruach, if you look, you, or let the pneuma get hooked to the hose and get your pneumatic tool working and get the job done and spread the gospel. This is a lot of hope that I'm talking about. Even though there's going to be a lot of stuff happening, people's all worrying about what's going on in the world. And listen, it's good you want to look at what's going on. Go on and look at it. It shouldn't bring no fear on you, because you automatically ought to know. It's what God said. He said this was going to happen at this time. I want to just tell you this. If you want to know how close we are, the labor pains have started. The labor pains have started. And so you better get ready to learn how to prepare yourself at this time of the year, every year from here on out, so you poised and ready with your lamp burning when the Lord returns. That's why we ought to prep ourselves, getting ready. We should be prepping. That's why I started weeks before getting us ready for Yom Teruah. We went through a time of forgiveness, working things out. Some of you in here it was bad. We can kid ourselves.
Right.
How can we be carrying that kind of stuff around? You can't carry that.
Right.
You got to be focused on what's at hand. So we prepared up to Yom Teruah. Then we got 10 days of awe coming. We're going to start on Monday, and we're getting ready for Yom Kippur when we're going to have the Day of Atonement. We want you, there's going to be days in there. I'm going to ask you to fast as many days as you want within that time. Pray, seek the Lord, read your Bible, prepare your heart. We come in for the Day of Atonement. How many of you know that during the Day of Atonement, there's something else happens on that day? How did he know to come for the Day of Atonement? Because another trumpet blows. What if I told you that could be the last trumpet? When did he say he would come? The last trumpet. Uh-oh. Wouldn't that be something? Right after he atones for you. On the Day of Atonement. Well, I wonder what's going on the Day of Atonement.
Hallelujah.
It is, Father, you know that blood, all that blood I shed. You remember what you said? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. I shed all that blood. And you said that I'm the priest also. Remember, he's a prophet, he's a priest, and he's a king. He's all of them. He's all of them. He said, you know that blood that I shed? I present it to the mercy seat. On that day, they took the male goat, one, and they put all the sin on him and sent him out the camp. Well, I want to tell you, your groom done come. Your groom done took all the sin and all the iniquity. He bore all of our sickness, all of our sin, all of our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes were healed. He did all that. He bore all of that, and he was nailed to the cross. The blood was shed. Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. It's already been done. And on that day, he atones for us over and over again. And we should be not walking into that lightly. We shouldn't have aught against one another. We shouldn't be having any. You got to go through and pick out clean slated. You know what's going on. You know what's going on in your life. You know the struggles you have and the hang-ups you have, and you know those things. Don't wait for somebody to come tell you. You don't need somebody to come and call you out and say, come here, let me tell you what the Lord wants me to tell you. You know. You know that. Yet we sit down service after service and we wonder, what do I need to do? I'm going to tell you tonight. Why don't we take tonight, because we're going to go into service tomorrow morning. We go in that service, and we, again, this is all about waiting. We're waiting. The moon is dark. We're waiting for the sliver to start off to tell us we're walking in to Yom Teruah. The alarm's going to sound. And that's exactly, listen, you can mark it down, put your little note somewhere. Because when he returns, he said, every eye will see me. So you'll be saying, oh, man, it is right. This is when he's coming. You'll know it'll be around the season that his appointed time. His appointed time is Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. That's when you tabernacle. What the Jews would do, they come out of their house and they live in the tent to remember the journeys through the wilderness when God took care of them and provided for them. And that happens for 7 days. But the Bible talks about an eighth day. It's an amazing thing. He adds one extra day on the end of the 7-day Feast of Tabernacles. That day, 8, is the new beginning where you walk into the millennium. It's absolutely incredible. How many ready for that? Let's stand. What a great God. He's good to us. Amen. He's good. I'm telling you, tonight will be an opportunity for you. How many's ever been? Let me ask a question. Who in here used to go out? How many know what that means anyway? Huh? I don't have to explain it. Let me ask that again. Who in here ever went out? All right, we went out. Who went out and you just got cranked up around 9? You know, you were just like getting first gear, whatever, second gear, I don't know. But it's amazing to me, once we start going out in the right place, oh, I'm so tired. You just don't know how tired I am. Been a long day. When you were going out, right? You didn't talk like that. Huh? You got you, and if you did feel like that, you got you a little something, something. And you didn't feel like that no more. How many wants to get you a little something, something, that when you get home, you might pace for 1 hour with a Bible in your hand saying, God, I just can't put it down. So right now, we're about to get in a something, something mode. Now, here's the thing. If you really wanted it, you made the contacts, you got it done because you wanted it. And if it wasn't readily available, you found it because you were passionate about doing whatever you wanted to do. Well, God ain't going to take second from nobody. Don't come over here and give God second. If you can't get the same enthusiasm, the same burning, not the same, more and above that, to get, say, God, I want me something tonight that's going to give me some, I'm going to have such a burst of energy come tomorrow, I'm just going to worship the Lord. And folk might look at you and say, what is going on with them? Don't pay no mind. Just maybe you're going to look at them and go, the trumpet! They're going to switch seats. They're going to go on the other side of the church and go, what in the world? Trumpet! Are you ready for that? Well, let me tell you something. Right where you're standing, it doesn't make a difference if you're standing here or there. There's nothing new. I can't tell you come up here because this spot's holy. It don't matter where you're standing. It's all about your heart. I can put you here, there, or in the back, outside, wherever you want to be. If your heart is ready to receive, you will receive. You will receive. It may not be in this building tonight, but it might be on your way home. When your heart just lines up and you say, God, what I want is I want the power and the anointing in my life to make sure that I celebrate this Yom Teruah, this Feast of Trumpets, the way you want me to prepare my life and my heart for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And I know one thing, God. I'll be set and ready to tabernacle with you. I'll be ready for that marriage feast with you. Then we'll step into the millennium. Go check it out. You go check it out. It'll all line up. You can't put this stuff together unless the word says it. It's what it says. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to reach down deep inside of you. Push out every interference. Tell the Lord, your hands go lifted up, and you say, crush me. Crush me. When I was doing this study, I stopped. I pushed it away. And I lifted my hands. I said, God, crush me. Crush me. Add the water and the fire. And then hammer me out to the trumpet you want me to be. So when the Ruach, the Pneuma, blows through, because I don't want to speak my words. If the trumpet blows with an uncertain sound, who's going to line up for battle? And nobody, listen, ain't nobody going to listen. Nobody's going to listen if I'm trying to blow it with my own power. But I pray to God tonight that what you heard from me, that you could see it, you can feel it, that what I was saying tonight, I'm trying to do everything I can to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, that He speaks these things. That this, I can do nothing of myself, that He speaks these. The words that I'm speaking with you that comes out of this trumpet is from the Pneuma. It's from the Spirit of God. If it wouldn't be for the Spirit of God, I couldn't know anything. But He said He'd lead and guide me into all truth. He could teach me all things. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Instantly. Well, here we are. Before we leave this place, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to lift both hands. That song, come up here quickly and sing that song, the last song we sang. Start playing that song. Lift both hands and you tell the Lord, go back over this message in the summary part. Crush me. Crush me. Loosen it all up. Remove all the stuff that don't need to be there. Add the water. Add the fire. And then the silver, there it is, the pure silver. And then He hammers it out. He hammers it out. And what's going to happen? It's going to be ready to sound. It's going to be ready to sound. Some of you here, you haven't repented. You haven't really repented. You better tell God to crush you. Only you know. Only you know. You know what you hold back. You know what you're trying to hide. But you can't hide it from God. You might say, I've been in church all my life. That's okay. Listen, I've been in church all my life. I tell God on a daily basis, crush me, God. I don't want to kid myself. We don't want to carry around these things, especially this time of the year. You can't, no spot, no wrinkle. No spot or wrinkle. I want to be the bride. The bride can have no spot, no wrinkle. It can't have any, can't be tainted. The bride cannot be touched. The bride cannot be touched. And all you got to do is just tell the Lord, right where you are, right where you are. I'm not restricting anybody. If you want to come out of your seat, that's up to you. But right where you are, He can do it. He's a God that moves in the heart. Right where you are, you can tell Him, Lord, I haven't been truthful with you. I really haven't. I haven't really opened up. Every time you tried to crush me, I didn't let you. I didn't have the washing of the water by the word. I didn't have that. The fire of God, holy, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And fire. You say, well, is that, how did Jesus go through that? The Bible says before He went in His ministry, He came to John. He came to John. He said, I must need be baptized. And then nobody can tell me that He hadn't been crushed. His vassals was changed. He didn't even look like a person anymore. He was beaten so brutally. But when He was put in that tomb, the fire of Almighty God, that same Spirit, He said, He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. When He come out of that water, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove. The Spirit of the Lord descended, the breath of God descended like a dove on him. But when he come out of that grave, he had fire. He was a different person. Fire. He said, how do we know that? The Bible says, when he returns, he'll have fire in his eyes. Sword in his hand. Out of his mouth, it'll go like a two-edged sword. It'll pierce through. Do you want that tonight? Does anybody here want to say to the Lord, right where you're standing, right where you're standing, say, crush me. I don't want all of these hang-ups, all these things I've been through, all these things that I've kept secret. Nobody knows. I'm releasing them all. Some of you have been carrying some, harboring some things in your life, grudges. That's not going to work. When he returns, you can't have no grudges. You have unforgiveness. You know you got to forgive. They hurt me. They hurt my children. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. I know you've been bruised. You've been burned many times. Every time you try to do good for somebody, it seems like somebody else does something. Listen, you got to let that go. You got to let that go and say, God, I want to be crushed. I want to be baptized by your Holy Spirit. I want the fire, Holy Ghost and fire. I want you to hammer me out to be the trumpet, the voice that'll speak. And I don't want my breath, but I want your breath. I want to speak your words. That way when the trumpet sounds, folks will gather. Folks will gather. That's what he wants to do for you. There's not a person here that should go home without being a marked difference in your life. Not one person. All you got to do is receive that word and tell the Lord, say, here I am, God, anything you ever see in my life, anything you've ever seen, God, that I don't notice. There's some things maybe I'm just not paying attention to. I don't see them as wrong, but maybe you do. Well, this one thing, I don't want to be found without all in my lamp. So I'm asking you, Lord, help me. Help me to know, to see what's right. Sometimes we'll get in where we deny. We'll deny the very thing that God has been trying to show us. You got to tell the Lord tonight. Say, Lord, I don't want to deny it no more. I don't want to deny it. I don't want to look to the right or the left. I don't want to say it's his fault or her fault or their fault. I want to say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I need you to just reach down and touch my life. Prepare me for this Yom Teruah. Prepare me for the Day of Atonement. Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Prepare me, Lord. I want to be ready. You have to ask yourself, should the Lord come? Should the second coming happen this month? Are you ready? May not happen this month. Maybe next year, and the next year, and the next year. I don't know. I can't tell you what year it's going to be. I can tell you what season, because it's an appointment. He said there'll be for signs and for seasons, appointments for days and for years. He will fulfill the fall feast. He will. So here we are. Father, we come before you. And we ask you to crush us. We leave from this place with Holy Ghost and fire. Pure silver, because silver has the highest reflection of all the precious metals. And what I want to do when I leave your place of worship, I want to be able to reflect you. I want people to see in my life that I love you. I want people to see in my life that I'm passionate about you. I want people to see in me how much I love you, Lord, and how much you love me. And God, not only will they see it, but when they hear what comes out of my mouth, it'll sound like Yom Teruah. It'll sound like an alarm, like a get ready sound. Get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what it'll sound like. God, I don't want to speak my words. I don't want my words to count. I want your words to count. God, it makes no difference what I think, but it does make all the difference in the world what you think. And what I speak, Lord, I want them to be your words. I want them to be what you put in my life. So here I am. Are you here tonight to say to the Lord, here I am, fill me. Fill me with your spirit after you crush me. Because I can tell you, until you've been crushed, there's no water, there's no fire. There's no water and there's no fire until the crush has happened. And that crush is, that's a real broken repentance. That's a crying out to God saying, I'm tired of living it the way I want to live it. I'm tired of doing it this way. And it doesn't make no difference. You say, I've been in church all my life. That doesn't qualify us for anything. We have to be broken before God. We have to be repentant before Him. We have to say to the Lord, God, here I am. And on a daily basis, we do these things, especially around this time. I take no chances. I risk not. God, I'm not going to risk missing you. I come before you and I ask you. I ask you, God, to touch my life. They're going to sing one stanza, sing the verse. Sing the verse of this song. I want everybody to, you can look up here. They're going to put it up here. And I want you to sing this as a prayer. Sing this as a prayer to the Lord. And then I want you to mean what you say when you come to that, when it comes to that bridge, when it you just giving it all to Him. I want you to tell Him this. I want you to let Him know this. We'll sing this one time before we go. And I want you just to open up to the Lord and let Him minister to your heart. Thank you, Lord. Sing it.
Broken and lost, you found me. Though hurt I've been my way, you healed my life.
He just says it. He doesn't do it because he's against us. The crush don't happen because he wants to pour out the pure silver.
In righteous, you broke the power of sin and freed my heart. You saved me, and I will be forever yours. You
thank you. How many mean that last part? To you, I give my life. To you, I give my life. When you say that, you know what you're saying to God? You can do whatever you want with it. What is it going to do? I'm going to tell you, he's going to crush it. He's going to put the water in the fire. He's going to take the silver, pure silver, and he's going to beat it to be a beautiful horn. And you'll be ready, come Yom Teruah. You'll be ready to sound the alarm because he's coming in the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. And you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready. Listen, every one of you here, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You're not going to miss him because listen, this information, you're going to go back, study it for yourself, read it, go to these pages and look at it. Watch God. All of a sudden, it becomes real to you. Isn't he good? He's good. He deserves all the glory. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. I thank you for giving us the understanding to come and be here on this Saturday to begin to celebrate Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. God, I want to thank you for every person that's here tonight. God, you see each one of them. You know their hearts. You know, Lord, the things that they've come here that's been heavy on their lives. I thank you, God, for ministering to them. I thank you, Lord, for touching their lives. And God, I pray, Lord, for the remainder of our time to come before you tomorrow and tomorrow night. God, as we honor you, and tomorrow as this service comes to an end and we go into the 10 days of awe, God, I pray that every person here will just grab hold to you with everything that's in them. And God, you would begin to guide us and prepare us as you sound the alarm to get us ready for that meeting that's going to happen. We thank you for it. I pray, God, right now for every one of them, for their families. God, for everything they put their hands to do, we pray the blessings of the Lord be upon them. God, that you would touch their family. God, you see the people that's in their lives that they love so dear, God, that they don't know the truth. I pray that as they go out, they'll be connected. The flow of the Holy Spirit will be in their life in such a way that when they speak, it'll be an alarm with a certain sound. Not an uncertain sound, but with a certain sound. A sound that will bring them to know who you are. We thank you for it. I just pray, Lord, right now for healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the lives of your people. God, that are here tonight, I pray for healing in their body right now in the name of Jesus. The mind right now, everything that the enemy has come to bring a destruction to the mind, to bring a heaviness, to bring a burden to the mind. God, I come against it right now. I feel that such a way tonight, just a heaviness to the mind, where the mind has been attacked. It's been attacked time and time again, almost to make folks think I'm losing my mind. Well, I want to tell you, that mind that you felt like you were losing, I'm telling you by the power of God, the mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind's being renewed right now. Somebody just put your hands on both sides of your head right now. Put your hands on both sides. Say, God, I thank you for a new mind. A new mind. My mind's going, I'm going to think different. I'm going to respond different to the thoughts that I had no control over are going to be subjected to the word. They're going to be in subjection to the word right now. My thoughts. Oh my, this is about to help somebody. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, let him think on these things from here on out. From here on out, from today on, you're going to think on the things that are true, just, honest, pure, lovely, and of good report. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Isn't the Lord good? He's good. God, we praise you. We praise you. Well, thank you so much for coming out tonight. We appreciate you. Don't forget, as you're preparing for Yom Teruah, we start it tonight. This is when you start. And we're going to go into Sunday and do two services. Don't forget, you bring the oil. Bring that gift. You never meet the groom without the presentation. So you bring something to the Lord above and beyond anything. Don't think in anything you've done before. Go beyond that. Go beyond that and say, God, I'm asking you, what do I need to do? You're talking about, can I do that? And it's somehow going to impress God, and God's going to do this. No, he tells us that's what we need to do. We're not to impress God. We're just following his command. So I don't want you to think that. I'm not telling you that so you impress God and God's going to then do something for you. We follow his command. He commands us to do that. Follow that command of the Lord. If we follow the commands of God, then God will begin to do what he said he would do because we keep his commandments, not because we impress God with some type of an offering. Okay? So remember that for tomorrow as you prepare for the service. Again, the same time, we'll do that. And again, tomorrow night service will be scheduled. And we're just going to have a great time in the Lord. So God bless you. I love each one of you. I thank you for being here tonight. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Be blessed.